Well, good morning. It's great to be with you all again and open the Word and praise the Lord this morning in this beautiful day that He made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I wanted to look at a passage from Matthew 25, if you want to turn there. Matthew 25, one you're familiar with, I'm sure. And, of course, every prison chaplain opens this one up because it talks about prisoners. But it says something more than that, and I wanted to call your attention to that this morning. So Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31. Matthew 25, verse 31. Jesus is talking, and he says, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate them one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no thing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no thing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they themselves will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked, or sick and in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." You know, I think I told you I begin the day, no Bible, no breakfast, and I meditate, I chew on it, I think about what I read. And I do this every day, I've been doing it since I got saved. And as I was reading this passage one morning and chewing on it, thinking about it, you know, you got to admit, this passage, and I will add a couple others, this passage and some others in the Bible appears through the passage that there will be some saved by doing good deeds and others condemned for not doing good deeds. Can I get a nod? Does that appear that way? Another passage which alludes to this is found in John 5, verse 28 and 29. You don't have to turn it. It's just a couple of verses, but I'll read them for you. I'm sure you'll recognize these. Again, Jesus is talking, and he says, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth, those who did good deeds to a resurrection of life, and those who committed evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment." Again, it seems as though those who do will be saved, and those who don't won't. So, you know, you chew on passages, like you meditate, you think about it, and you ask God for understanding. You say, how can this be? For we know we are saved by grace. Can I get an amen? We know we're saved by God's gracious, by God being kind to us, and it is by grace through faith. It is not of works, lest anyone should boast. Amen. And we all know that passage, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Every young believer, memorizes this. For we have been saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, that is the gift of God, lest no one should boast, not a result of works. But verse 10 is interesting. Verse 10 of that passage says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We were created to do good works. So it's not saying we do good works to try to get to heaven. No. It's saying we get saved by grace through faith in Jesus, then to do good works. That's what it's saying. And that kind of helps. Because, again, the first couple passages, and there's a few others, they seem to say that those who do will be saved, those who don't won't be saved. Now, again, we know we're saved by grace through faith. Again, if this is true, and we know the Word of God is true, why does it appear that those who do will be saved and those who don't won't? Certainly, it appears as a works-orientated salvation. But then again, we know we cannot be saved by our good works or good deeds. If we could, if all you got to do is be a good person and do good deeds to be saved, then Jesus died for nothing. Can I get an amen? So, we know that we're saved by grace through faith. Isaiah 64:6 states that our righteous or good deeds or works are like a filthy rag. In the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, 21 through 23, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me on that day, dear Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name and in your name perform many miracles? And then Jesus says, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So here are people that are doing good deeds, casting out demons, prophesying, doing miracles, and the Lord says, I don't know you. I don't know you. It's not like I knew you and now I don't like you anymore, or, you know, you did bad deeds, you got to go. No, I never knew you. So, all that to say, we are not saved by doing good deeds or good works. Again, if we could be, then Jesus would have died for nothing. Well, let's look at the passage again. Again, one more time here. Matthew 25, let's pick it up in 34. The king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, enter into the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. And then they say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you and thirsty and give you drink and naked and clothe you and take you in homeless and visit you and when you were sick and in prison? And he says again, truly I say to you, when you did this to the least of these brothers of mine, you was doing it to me. You know, be careful how you treat other people, amen? Because it's almost like you could be a brother or sister and you're actually treating Jesus. So, again, we look at this passage. You do, you get in. You don't, you won't get in. And as a student of Scripture, again, I was taught to meditate, chew on it, think about it, pray about it. And here's what we do know. Here's what we know now. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old is gone, and passed away, and the new has come. Amen? When we put our faith in Christ, realize we're sinners, on our way to hell, and we put our faith in Jesus, believing he did truly die, bleed, and shed his blood on a cross to wash away not some of our sins, but all of them. If we truly believe that, the Bible says we're a new creature. The old is gone, the new has come. So what is it that is new about us? What has changed? Well, Ezekiel prophesies about this in the Old Testament. Chapter 36, verses 26, 27, it goes like this. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You want it in English? Ezekiel's saying, one day, God is going to take away the heart of stone, give us a heart of flesh, and put his spirit within us. And we will not have to do good deeds. We will want to do good deeds. Everybody with me? It's not like we have to keep the laws to get to heaven. We will want to keep what we know to be the law or the spirit of the law. You know, to be kind, to do good things. According to the word, again, we will have a new heart. We will want to do God's will. And I believe this is what happens when we realize we've sinned against a holy God and are guilty and deserving of hell. And then realize, John 3:16, that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believing in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We put our faith in Christ and something happens. God's spirit comes into us. We have a change of heart and mind. We think differently. We see differently. We hear differently. We speak differently. We act differently. Can I get a nod or an amen? You know, do you realize how much your life has changed since you became a Christian? Because if it hasn't, maybe you need to start over again. Maybe we need to go all over back to the cross and get things right. Because God is in you now. You're not the same person. Why does all this happen? Because God has changed us. Again, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And what happens? Well, we do things that we would not normally do. Why? Because God is in us. The Holy Spirit resides in us. The Holy Spirit is God. Can I get an amen? I don't know if you've ever thought about this. Some of you may need to chew on this, but it's no longer me, myself, and I. It's God in you. God is living in you. Can I get a nod? Can I get an amen? That's why you think and care about others and God and doing what is right. And you're convicted by God when you don't do what is right. You know, you're not your own anymore. You've been bought with a price, namely the precious blood of Jesus. And God is in you. So we think differently. We see, speak, act differently because God has changed us by coming into us. You know, I want to say there are some that take this to an extreme and they expect God to do whatever they wish, like raise the dead, make the blind see, lay hands on them and they're all healed and all this, you know, and they go a little out of control, some people. Not that God can't do that. God does do that. But they take it a little too far. But here's some things that I want you to think about. What about other supernatural things? You know, people get so excited when they hear somebody was risen from the dead, or someone was healed, or someone can now see, they were blind before, and they flock to these crowds and these healers and these things, and they go all ballistic and everything. Let me ask you, what about other supernatural things like caring about someone else other than me, myself, and I? That's supernatural. natural is to only care about me, myself, and I. That's what the natural person does. We'll show that in a minute. But when you start thinking about other people, that's supernatural. And I mean not once in a while, but often. Like feeding someone who was hungry, or giving a drink to the thirsty, seeing someone naked and putting some clothes on them, sheltering the homeless, taking them in out of the rain, the snow, the freezing cold, and letting them sleep on the couch, or visiting the sick or the prisoner. They're all supernatural because, again, the natural self only thinks about me and me only, me and my. Occasionally, a person with a selfish, sinful nature might think of someone else just to make themselves feel good for a moment, but generally, it is me and my, thank you very much. Generally, the natural person thinks of self. But when God comes into you, He changes your heart and your mind, and you do supernatural things by thinking of Him, thinking of others, going out of our way to help people. Because, as Jesus said, it is more blessed to what? Give than receive. Let me say a little footnote on this I heard recently. You know, everybody likes to get blessed and everybody likes to receive, you know, gifts, whatever, and this and that. But it is more blessed when you give. Can I get an amen? Think about that. You like to be blessed? So do I. You like to receive? So do I. But do you want to be more blessed? Give me a nod. Then give. It is more blessed to give than to receive. That's what the sheep did. They gave. Why? Because they think differently. They see differently. They hear differently. They speak differently. They act differently because they have God's Spirit in them. And their heart of stone has been removed, and they've received a heart of flesh. And they think like, they become like Dad, you know? You ever seen a father and his son walking down the street and the kid looks just like the old man? You ever seen that? I mean, spitting image. He looked just like that. And we say, chip off the old block, right? That's the way, without disrespecting God, this is the way we should be with our father. We should be like a chip off the old block. You with me? We should look and act and think like our dad. We should say, they should be able to say, he's just like his dad. You know? Again, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, for people to learn and understand this truth, there needs to be opportunities to try this. And this is what the passage is about. Opportunities to try it again. Look at it again. There are those who are hungry, and the sheep feed them. There are those who are thirsty. The sheep give them something to drink. Notice the word give, give keeps popping up. The sheep notice someone hungry. They give them something to wear. The sheep notice someone who is homeless. They give them a place to stay. Maybe they take them in the house. Maybe they put them in a hotel. Maybe they find a place for, you know, shelter, whatever. But they do something. They give. They're in the hospital, they visit them, pray with them. And if they're in prison, they visit and pray for them. The sheep do these things. I believe it is because they have a new heart. God has changed their heart so that they think of others. Kind of like joy. You know, this is the way I do it in jail. Real short and simple things to help remember. You know, J for Jesus, O for others, then Y for you, all right? It's just the simple commandments. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, it's real simple that way. And when you do this, you're happy, you're blessed. Of course, when you're not doing this, you're not happy. You're miserable. You're reading the scriptures, you're not getting nothing, you're wondering where God is. Why? Because we're thinking about me, myself, and I. We're not thinking about God. This is the only way to find joy, is when we put God first, then others, then you. These people are always joyful and happy and blessed because they think of God, others, and then themselves. Now, think of a selfish person you know, all right, other than yourself. Think of someone that you know is very selfish, all right? Imagine them in your head right now. You know who they are. There's got to be a couple you know. Can you see how miserable, lonely, angry, et cetera, they are? Most people that I know that are selfish and only think of themselves usually walk around like they were baptized in pickle juice. They do. They're never happy. They're always, you know, always sad, always down, because they're only thinking of themselves. You can't be happy. You can't. You know, you're just not happy that way. And that's the natural, the sinful nature at its best. They only think of me, myself, and I, and they're miserable. Now, think of someone who puts God first, and then others, and then themselves, and can you see the contrast? You see how happy they are? How blessed they are? One is natural, the other is supernatural. Are you with me? 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 14 explains this pretty good, all right? Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, the lower part of Greece, and notice what he says regarding the natural person, all right? The person devoid of the Spirit of God, who has not been born again. He's only been born once. Notice, pick it up in verse 9. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them. This is talking to the Christians. For to us God revealed them through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Let me give you a little explanation on this, all right? The men will grab this. We might be a little slow, but I'll help you with this. I know. I'll give you a scenario. 5 or 6 teenagers on the corner, all right? Downtown. Summertime, an attractive woman walks by, all right? They see her coming. They're all looking. She walks by. She keeps going. They keep on looking. I know what they're thinking. Why? Because I am a man. I have a spirit like they do. Nathan knows what he's thinking. Every man here knows what they're thinking. Dog. Two dogs walk into a room. One comes in this door, one comes in this door. There's a piece of steak. The dog looks at the steak, licks his mouth. The other dog looks at the steak, licks his mouth. And then they see each other. That dog knows what that dog's thinking. Does he say, hey, you want to share? No. No, the first thing is, grrr, you know. I know what you're thinking, pal. You're thinking you're going to eat that. That ain't happening, you know. We're going to die over this, you know. To know the things of God, you got to have the Spirit of God. Are you with me? The natural person cannot know God, because he doesn't have the Spirit of God. You with me? He's only been born once. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. Everybody with me? You must be born of the Spirit of God. So listen to what he says now. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Now, verse 14, you ready? But the natural man, he's not been born again. The natural person who's only been born once, listen to what he says. The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. Did you notice that? The natural man does not and cannot accept the things of God because he doesn't have the Spirit of God. Are you with me? That's the difference between the sheep and the goats. One has the Spirit of God. That's why we refer to a sheep a lot. And others don't. Not everybody has the Spirit of God. Are you with me? Not everyone has been born again. That's why you're different from other people. That's why some people look at you like you got four heads. Why are they so kind all the time? Why are they so happy? Why are they so joyful? Why are they so giving? You know, why? Why am I so rotten? Why am I so mean? Why can't I be like that? You know, because they don't have the Spirit of God. When you pray for the lost, pray that God would send down his Spirit upon them and open their eyes so that they can see God and believe and trust in him. Unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Are you with me? He can't. Unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, but born of water, the water breaks, first time, human flesh, and born of the Spirit, second birth, born again. Unless those things happen, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. This is what happens when someone puts their faith in Christ. The natural man only thinks of himself, and he's miserably bound to sin until he cries out to God and God sets him free. If he does not cry out to God, he will remain bound to sin, or me, myself, and I, and will not look to God and eventually die in his sin. These are the traits described in verses 41 through 46. Notice the reoccurring theme, the traits, the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the homeless, the sick, and the prisoner. But still, they only care about themselves. I was hungry and you did not give me anything. I was thirsty, you did not give me a drink. I was naked, you did not clothe me. I was on the street, you did not take me in. I was in prison and in the hospital, you did not come and visit me. In contrast, the sheep, are they saved by good works? Because they give food to the hungry, drink to the thirsty, clothes to the naked, take in the homeless, visit the sick and the prisoner. Are they saved by their good works? No. No, they're saved by grace through faith. But does their faith have works? Think about this. James makes it pretty clear. Faith without works, dead. Faith has works. The sheep are saved by grace through faith, and their faith has works. Faith without works is dead. Remember Ephesians 2:10? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. It's not like we have to do these things to get to heaven. No. It's we like to do these things. Can I get an amen? I like helping. If somebody's hungry, I like it. You know, I was taught as a little child, you don't eat in front of people. You know, you've got a sandwich and somebody there is looking, he's hungry. You get it. Would you like half the sandwich? You know? You give. The sheep give because they've been changed If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old is gone, the new has come. Again, the Spirit of God comes in. They think differently. They see differently. They talk differently. They hear differently. They act differently because God is in them. Their hearts were changed. But remember, faith has works. And remember what Hebrews says. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible to please God. So the sheep who gave and gave, their hearts were changed. God dwells in them. They have eyes that see God and others. They have ears that hear God and others. They have hands that reach out to God and others. They were saved by grace through faith in Christ. And because God changed them, when they put God first, when God gave them a spirit and they put God first and they think of others, then themselves. Again, all this to say, we're not saved by doing good works, as the pastor seemed to suggest. No. We're saved to do good works. We're not saved by good works. We're saved to do good works. And it's not like we have to do them. We want to do them, yeah. We want to do them. Because we're more happy when we're thinking of God and others than when we're thinking of just me, myself, and I. Can I get an amen? I'm going to illustrate this in closing. This is a real simple illustration. Someone shared it with me after I had shared this message at a little house church. Really bunch of godly people. I love it. It's just a little tiny church, but they're really sweet people. And this guy said, I got an illustration for you to use. I said, what is it? He told me. I said, nailed it. You ready? It goes like this. And remember, we're not saved by good works, but we've been saved to do good works. You with me? Again, we don't have to do them, but we want to do them. So, here's how it goes. I can bark. I can stand up here and bark, woof, 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 woof. All right? Does that make me a dog? No, right? This is easy. This is real easy, all right? Everybody got this? All right. Now, listen carefully. But if I'm a dog, if I was a dog, I'm going to bark. Everybody got this? You've probably heard it this way. I can stand in the garage, that don't make me a car. But we put the car in the garage. Can I get an amen? I like the dog better, though. Let's do the dog. You ready? All that to say, a person can do good deeds, that don't make them a Christian. Everybody with me? Doing good deeds does not make you a Christian. But if you are a Christian, you're going to want to. Finish the sentence. You're going to want to do good deeds. All right? Everybody got this? So when you look at these passages and you say, hey, wait a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. How come all these people, they do and they get in, these don't, they don't, they won't? That's because one of them is sheep. One of those are Christian. The others are not. The Christians like to do good deeds. They don't have to, but they like to. The ones who have not been born again, only born once, they don't like to think of others or God. They only think of themselves. They're not happy. They're miserable. And that's why we got to share the gospel. Amen? All right. So again, remember the dog now. You can bark. That don't mean you're a dog. But if you are a dog, you are going to bark. All right? If you're a Christian, you're going to want to do good deeds. And that's why I like what Nathan was saying earlier. You bring in the food and things like that to help out those that don't have. That's you don't have to do that. But a Christian wants to do that. Amen. You may not be rich. You can't buy them a home. You can't pay their mortgage or whatever. But you can do something. because it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for helping us understand these passages that seem as though those that do things, good deeds, will go to heaven, and those that don't, won't. And I think the reason is that's what Christians do. They were saved to do good deeds, and we like doing it. And so as we have opportunity in this life, Lord, let us store up treasure in heaven and bring blessing to you and others with whatever we have, because this life will be over short, and one day we will be rewarded later on in life. Even those who give a cup of cold water to someone will not lose their reward. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.